Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful day to be alive, to be at church, to be here to worship our God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And thank you for coming out. Several announcements. First, if you take your red pad, sign it. And if you haven't given your name, address, or if you've got a new email or a new telephone number, or if you've changed your name, whatever, let us know. I'd like to have that information. Couple of announcements that are not in here that I want to make first. On July the 10th, we will be taking in three new members, so I hope that you can be here to meet those new members. We'll bring them up in front of you and ask some questions and let you meet them. And I'll have their photos on PowerPoint also. And then on July the 17th, we have a baptism, so I hope that you can be here to support that also. Also, Ernie McFadden has been moved to Manor Care. He's going to be there for a while. He will not be going back to where he was at Passover. They don't think that they can handle him with his health conditions. He has some pulmonary embolism, and so if it goes that way, they're going to be finding him a new permanent place. So don't know how that's going to end up for sure. I want to thank Betty Angelini for preaching last week. Cliff had put it on our website on the internet, so that afternoon I was able to listen to the sermon, and that was very, very, very nice. So I listened to the whole service. I felt like I was here, and I'd always heard that Betty was a good speaker, and she is a good, very, very good speaker. So hopefully we can have her back in 5 or 10 years. No, hopefully sooner than that, but we do already have the speakers lined up for August for the rest of the summer. But hopefully we can get her back at another time. Very nice lady also. I remind you that the nursery is open. Also, the library is open with the speakers if someone needs to go in there at any time. Vacation Bible School, July 18th through the 22nd. I assume BJ's still looking for some workers and helpers. We all seem like we always go down near the last minute for that. Regular youth group meetings will be July the 10th and July the 4th at 6 p.m. And so I hope any youth group, and if you know somebody who wants to be a part of a youth group, grades 6 through 12, just tell them to come on out. Then there's an annual pig roast planned for September, so you can be looking forward to that. Any other announcements that need to be made at this time? Shawnee?
Youth group will be meeting this evening at 6 o'clock in McFadden Hall for Ice Cream Sunday.
Ooh, youth group are meeting this afternoon at 6 o'clock in McFadden Hall for Ice Cream Sundays. I think everybody's a youth now. Any other announcements? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise, well, I don't think we've sang for a while, 270, Wonderful Words of Life.
Thank you.
Amen. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed within your bulletin. Dear God, we thank you for making the decision to create humanity. We praise you for loving us even when we make the wrong path in life. Forgive us for the sins we commit against you and others and ourselves. Help us to make choices that lead to eternal life. Remind us that living the abundant life on earth means making decisions that are a blessing to your kingdom. May we come to fully understand that the choices we make affect the rest of our lives. Help us to make decisions through prayer and meditation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. With a sense of unity here at Glenshell Valley as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day,
let's take a moment and let's greet one another. Someone here you don't know, be sure to introduce yourself. Now for our congregational anthem today, it's a congregational anthem, so everyone is going to sing this, but you just may remain seated for this one. Give you a little rest. Still waters into mercy. nothing can keep us apart. Oh, great is your love and injustice, God of the Gender, your human God. This is enough, yeah, your grace is enough. Responsive reading is Sanctification 673 in the back of your hymnals. Sanctification 673. Count yourselves dead to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness.
When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness.
What benefits did you reap at that time from the things that you now are ashamed of? Those things result in death. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. I'd like to open up this portion of the service for the pastoral prayer and invite you to submit any prayers and remind you of Ernie McFadden, who is in Manor Care on 19. Kathy Seggy, some issues going on her with Lois with her back and going. Nancy Baldwin's mother, who for a while thought was doing well but has digressed and not doing so well. Diane Croyle, who is having some new troubles. Update you on my wife. Surgery went, we believe, very well. She felt an immediate release from that horrible back pain that she's been enduring for so long. We believe this surgery was much more successful than the last one. Robin has been a terrible patient. She's gotten better now. She's gotten better. But the first few days, oh mercy. I don't know if it's the pain pills or what. I think she felt the release and just thought that she could get up and clean and decorate the house. And oh, it was like bumping heads with a rock. But she's doing better. She learned her lesson. God bless her. And so she is doing better, healing. She's getting out for some walks. Her spirits have been good. Some people have been coming over, calling, and you're welcome to call. Come over, and you can call directly to her cell phone. Her number's in the little book, or if you want it from me, I'll give it to you. It's an easy number, such an easy number, but feel free to call her, talk to her, come by. She loves that. And she lays in bed a lot, and she entertains up in her bedroom a lot, so that's fine. So we appreciate your cards, prayers, phone calls, visits, everything. It means the world to both of us. But she kind of had a bad night last night. I think she tossed and turned, so she was in a lot of pain today, but I think that's because she tossed and turned and probably got her back into a position that she shouldn't. But we go to the doctor tomorrow to get the staples out, and she asked me, she said, our anniversary is Thursday. What do you want to do for our anniversary? I said, I think we'll probably just stay home and do nothing. So she said, you're probably right. So thank you again. Any other prayer requests? Okay. Pat, his wife has back problems. I can certainly sympathize. Yes, Meryl. Okay. Okay. Chemo treatment and her husband, Bob. And I want to thank you for your prayers for my brother, Mike, down in South Carolina. He finished up his radiation treatment on his ear, so hopefully all his cancer will be gone. Judy and Frank. Frank is in hospice, brain tumor. Want to remember Judy and Frank in prayers of comfort. Also, I would like to ask for prayers for the Woodham family from my home. I remember them. This was our family's first friends as a family. And the parents are still alive. They're my father's age in the 80s. And their youngest son was out walking with his wife, said he didn't feel well. Came back home, laid down for a little while. His wife went in, found him dead. And kind of tragic. Name is Will Woodham. So prayers for comfort for the Woodham family. Anyone else? Thank you. She's talking about my wife's Crohn's disease. She can't take certain medicines. They want Robin to take anti-inflammatory because it sets off her Crohn's disease. So we're getting this round Robin kind of thing. So thank you. Okay, her boss Kim. Kim Wright, a radiation treatment on her brain, going for a second one on Tuesday, so let's keep her in our prayers. And let's keep the prayers for those and all the flooding that's going on. Okay, for their daughter as a caregiver. I was just reading a magazine on caregiving yesterday. It's very important. Saw a hand again, yes. Okay, a lady in the 90s lives five houses down, going through a series of tests and is asking for prayers. Anyone else? Let's pray for our church, Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian. Our church, we always need to be in prayer for our church, for our boards, our committees, all the things that we try to do, for Vacation Bible School, all these different things. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day. We humble ourselves before your mighty hand. You know our lives better than we do. The Bible tells us the hairs upon our head are numbered. You know our names. There are no secrets hidden. You know the desires of our hearts. We ask, is the collective body of Christ here, that you minister to each and every one of us and help us with the needs that we have, the sins that we might have hidden within our hearts, to deal with those and overcome them. Help us to make the right and proper decisions in our lives that would put us on the straight and narrow path to righteousness, to a closer relationship to you. If anyone needs salvation, Lord, may your Holy Spirit touch them specifically today and draw them closer. Maybe someone in our congregation today, maybe someone at home, maybe someone who is thinking about coming to church that needs to be a part of our fellowship. Touch them this day. Draw them into your kingdom. We pray for everyone that was mentioned today, everyone that we might be thinking about in our family, our friends, situations within the country. Touch them, Lord, in your special and unique way. Let them feel your love, your comfort, your compassion. Let them know that you care. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, through ministering angels, but also through us, as the body of Christ, reaching out to one another with a sense of compassion and help and kind words, doing what we can to lift up the body of Christ, to lift up our neighbors and those that are without Christ, that are in darkness, that have not found peace of mind yet. Help them, Lord. Those that are not here this day, we ask why. Is it vacation? Is it laziness? Are they falling away from the church? We pray that your Holy Spirit will go to them and convict them for what reason that it may be, if they're falling away especially. Have them understand the importance of assembling together in fellowship. When we make decisions, Lord, may we go to you in prayer and meditation, in our Bible study, and at times may we bounce our decisions off of our fellow Christians, our family. Help us live our lives not for ourselves, but for you. Lord, we thank you for this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation is Knowing You, a screen song. Let us bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, on this beautiful day, once again, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, but that the cross and the grave could not contain him, had the power to rise from the dead, show himself, and ascend into heaven, and be seated at the right hand of glory and power, and to send back the Holy Spirit for the church to empower us. We thank you for that. Help us find that peace that passes all understanding and share that with others. As pastor, I thank you for the gifts that you've blessed the church with, that you've touched individuals to use to make decisions, not for our glory, but for yours. Help us see and understand the difference. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Bless everyone that gives of their time, their talent, their energy, their intellect, everything that they have, Lord. Bless them this day. In the name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Amen. Thank you. This is not on.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
How are you doing today? Our scripture reading today comes from Romans. Paul in this scripture is talking about sin. In fact, it's the third part of three sections that he talked about. He started in chapter 5 talking about the sin in the law. Second part, in the beginning of chapter 6, he talks about the new covenant with Christ as he died. And the third part, he talks about how we should act now that we are God's children. So listen to the scripture, Romans 6, 11 through 23. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bless the reading of our scripture.
Amen. Bill does such a wonderful job introducing the scripture and then reading, and also a wonderful job as our church treasurer also. I know both times it all can be frustrating at times, and thank him for his dedication to both. Well, congratulations. Today's your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head. You have shoes in your feet. You can steer yourself in any direction you choose. Those rhythmic words of advice come from the delightful little book of Dr. Seuss. Oh, the places you'll go. You're on your own, and you know what you know, and you are the one who will decide where you'll go. It's up to us, says Dr. Seuss. The world is ours, and we are free to choose what kind of life we will have. He even provides a warning. You'll look up and down streets. You look over them with care, and about some you'll say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down a not-so-good street. I wish that were always true, that we used our intellect, that we used our brains, and we made always rational choices, well thought out and prayed about, and we didn't make those bad decisions. A. Philip Foreman tells about a minister who asked a person he was counseling if he had any troubles making decisions. The man answered, yes, but no. Parham notes that the word intelligence comes from two words, inter meaning between and legere meaning to choose. An intelligent person is one who has learned to choose between good and evil, truth and falsehood, love and hate, gentleness and cruelty, humility and arrogance, life and death. In other words, you look up and down the street, look them over with care, and some you will say, I don't choose to go there. As one preacher in the southern U.S. said, God will always vote yes, the devil will always vote no, and the deciding vote is left up to you. Why is it that we are drawn to bad decisions? Especially when we know that making bad choices can sometimes be disastrous for our lives, and we know that when we go into the decision-making process and we go ahead and jump in and we do it anyway. When Pompeii, the city, was excavated, they found a woman's body had been preserved from the ashes from Mount Vesuvius. It was swept over the city. The woman's feet turned towards the city gates. But they found her standing there with her head turned back and her hand reaching back. And they wondered, what in the world was she doing? Was she reaching back for a child? So they excavated that site and wanted to know, what was she reaching back for? What was so important that she would risk her life and give her life for? They excavated and they dug up and they found a bag of pearls. Were they her pearls? Were they a rich woman that had fled before and dropped them and she saw them and she went to grab them up because wealth meant so much to her that she was willing to risk and give up her very life? She made a decision, a split-second decision, but it was a decision that cost her her life. What a terrible choice. It was a very human thing to do, we would say, to reach out for a bag of pearls. But it cost her her life. There are many choices that people make and end up costing them their lives, their families, their health, or their peace of mind. And anything that causes you to hurt yourself or to hurt someone else is a bad decision to make. Some of you remember a story that I told, actually not too long ago. It was about a young boy and a young girl dating and going to a party. And they knew that there would be alcohol and drugs and all type of illicit activity there. And this particularly responsible young girl said, I'm not going to go. I don't want to go to this party. And if you're going to go, I'd like for you to take me home. And a boyfriend in a very smart aleck voice, you know, said, well, what's the matter? Are you afraid your daddy will hurt you? And she looked at him and said, no, I'm afraid I will hurt my daddy. She knew what her boyfriend was suggesting was a bad choice. And it may or may not affect the rest of her life, but she knew it was a bad choice. So look up and down the streets, look them over with care, and some you will say, I don't choose to go there. Professional speaker Philip Wexler notes that the human being is the only creature on earth that is not a prisoner of programming, but is the master of it. Think about the animal kingdom. Birds are programmed, many of them, to fly south for the winter. They don't really have a choice. It's programmed. They just do it. They don't suddenly decide one day that, well, the economy is bad, I'll fly south. They don't retire in Pittsburgh and say, you know, I think I'll get me a place down at Myrtle Beach or in Florida and I'll go south for the winter. I can afford it. Beavers build dams. Fish swim in schools. But only humans make the decision to build a dam to hold back water. Only humans make the decision, I think I will go back to school to get my degree, or to add a master's or a doctorate or whatever. I will make that conscious decision, that choice to do it. Some of you remember an episode of Seinfeld. I never used to watch Seinfeld when it was on, but I think I was working at that time at night, but I watch it sometimes in the reruns. One of my favorite episodes is when George Costanza, remember him, his character? He's frustrated because every decision he makes seems to be the wrong decision. I think most of us can relate to that. And Jerry says, here's your chance to do the opposite. If every instinct you have is wrong, then the opposite would have to be right. George realized that Jerry is on to something here. If he would act and react completely opposite of his normal actions and reactions, he might have better results in life. So George makes a decision to alter his behavior, and he says, yes, I will do the opposite. And it turns out that Jerry was right. When he went against his instincts, life started working better for him. And of course, this is a comedy show, and it was funny. Yet many of us will have to confess that there's something within us that invariably draws us to making bad decisions and wrong choices. A customer in a bakery was observed carefully examining the goodies behind the glass. A clerk approached him and asked, what would you like? And the customer looked for a minute and said, well, I would like that chocolate-covered donut that's cream-filled. I would like that cheese Danish. And I'd like two of those jelly-filled donuts. And let me see, I would like a couple of those things. Then his voice changed and he said, but I guess you better give me the bran muffin. The Bible says that we are drawn to bad choices and decisions because of our sinful nature. In today's lesson that Bill read, the Apostle Paul writes, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death, but now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. St. Paul contrasts people who are enslaved to sin and those who are servants to God. We need to understand really what is he saying here. First of all, let's acknowledge, whether we like it or not, that we're all sinners. We are born into sin, whether we like to admit it or not. Even the best of us, the very best of us, are sinners in our nature. W.E. Sangster is generally regarded by preachers as one of the top preachers of the 20th century, but he acknowledged himself that he was a sinner. In a painfully honest look at his own life, Sangster wrote in his journal that he had many shortcomings in his spiritual life. He confessed that he sometimes was irritable, that he was easily put out by other people. He was impatient with his wife, impatient with his children. He acknowledged that most of his study had been crudely ambitious. He had done it for himself, not for God. He wanted degrees to hang on his wall more than he wanted the knowledge that should come with those degrees. He wanted the praise more than learning about so he could be equipped for ministry. Even in his preaching, he feared that he was more often wanting what people thought of him than equipping them for service and learning about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He said he felt in a vague way that something was hindering his effectiveness in ministry, and he concluded that it was failure in living the true Christian life. It troubled him that the girl who lived with them as a maid, a servant in their house for over 3 years, would not go to church and would not accept Christ. And it was because of his behavior living in the house with this minister and seeing his behavior that she wanted nothing to do with church or God. He was a sinner. You and I are sinners at our very root. He made bad choices, this minister, just as you and I make bad choices. He needed God's help daily, just as you and I need God's help on a daily basis. So, if we are going to be a slave or a servant to something, let's try to choose something that is positive in nature and work on that. If we're going to crave something, let's crave something that is good, positive, and helpful and healthy for us. How about exercise? How about healthy eating? How about a positive attitude and a smile on our face? How about making a choice to be faithful to your spouse and being faithful to your God? How about speaking kindly to your neighbor? Or even to the person sitting next to you or across the aisle in church? How about speaking kindly to your neighbor? Or let's make a positive decision, all of us, to be the best Christians that we can be, to be the best church that we can be, to edify God and to edify others. But it means making daily choices that are in keeping not with our will, but keeping with God's will for wholeness and health. It means choosing daily with God's help attitudes and actions that will bless and benefit God, and therefore you will be blessed. Olympic swim coach Daniel Chambers said, "Great athletes are not made, they're not just born, they have to work at it on a daily basis." They said they get up in the morning and they make small decisions of what they're going to eat, how they're going to exercise, how they're even going to treat other people, what they're going to do that day to be the best athlete that they can possibly be. They can't just throw it all to the wind and just think, "Well, I've just got all these talents, I'm going to be a superstar." It just does not work that way. He said, "Great athletes aren't made in the long run, they are made every day." Positive choices, servants of God, or as Dr. Seuss says, you look up and down the streets, look them over with care. About some of you will say, "I don't choose to go there." With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down a not-so-good street. Life consists of making choices. Little choices, big choices. The Bible says that we're drawn to bad choices because of our sinful natures, but it doesn't have to be that way. We can train ourselves by God's grace to make healthy choices and decisions on a daily basis. Reverend Tommy Barnett tells a revealing story of a encounter that he had with singer Elvis Presley many years ago, and we all know the story of Elvis Presley. He was in the congregation at a church where Elvis was attending one day and heard this minister, and Elvis was very moved by the sermon, and he wanted to talk to Barnett afterwards. Elvis knew that he needed to repent of his lifestyle and return to his Christian faith. That was a struggle for Elvis his whole life. I mean, you listen to his gospel albums, you can tell he pours his heart into the singing of those. But the lure of the show business was so strong that he felt like he had no choice but to continue on in his show business lifestyle. And we all know what happened to him. The fame, the fortune, the drugs, the alcohol, it killed him. It ruined his life. He made the bad choices, and he knew better. He could have changed his life, but he didn't. And it literally killed him. So what do we do? Choosing Christ invariably helps us to make the better decisions. Now, we can do this a Pollyanna way and say, well, I become a Christian, so all my decisions are just naturally going to be good. No, they're not. You still got the devil beating at your head. You still got that sinful nature within you warring with the Christian nature that is there, the good and the bad, fighting, warring within you. Which one's going to win? That's one reason the Christian faith has stood the test of time. When people give their lives to Christ, they start becoming better parents, better citizens, and they start living happier, better lives. But you have to understand, it only happens when you make faith the most important part of your life. You can't just tag Christianity and your relationship with Christ and God onto the tail end of your life and drag it along. You have to put Christ at the center of your life. And I think this is where we all make our mistakes, including me. We want to put it over here, or over here, or even way back here. I know people say they're Christians. I ask them, you know, where do they go to church? Well, I haven't been to church in 30 years. I don't need church. You ask them when they pray. Well, I don't really pray. I was baptized when I was 2, so I'm taken care of. You know, that they don't get it. People who drop by church every once in a while. Studies teach us that only people who are serious about their faith and their relationship with Jesus Christ, they make the same bad choices, those who just don't really take it seriously, who don't really come to church, they have the same emptiness as the world outside. Only when Christ becomes a real presence in our lives do we begin to show the benefits of a relationship with God, the church, the kingdom of God, and the people within the church. You know, the word servants of God may rub us the wrong way, but when the emphasis emphasizes the completeness and the commitment that is required, and that's what it takes. The choice is put squarely on us by St. Paul. He writes, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ." The choice couldn't be any plainer than that. Or as Dr. Seuss puts it, "Congratulations on your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head, and you have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself in any direction that you choose. With God's help, you can." God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn. I hope we really can make a decision to do this. "I have decided to follow Jesus," 376.
Thank you.
As you leave this sanctuary today, may you make a decision in your life to be positive. I found myself recently in a negative place, and it's not a good place to be. So I'm making a decision to be positive. And sometimes you have to make that decision to be positive. It's not always an easy thing to do. Make a decision in prayer. Talk your decisions over with other people. Get their advice. Hear what they have to say. Look in the Word of God. Think about it. Take your time. Don't rush into things. Go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.